The three finalists to become Massachusetts' next education commissioner will talk publicly today about why they want the job. WBUR Edify reporter Max Larkin has profiled the three candidates who are going before the State Board of Education today, and Max joins us in the studio to talk about them. Hi, Max.
Hi, Deb.
Perhaps the most well-known of these three candidates, Max, at least locally, is Jeff Riley, and he was the state receiver for Lawrence Public Schools, the Lawrence District. What do you think we could take from his track record about what his focus might be as state education commissioner?
Well, the track record up there is pretty good. When Riley came in 2012, about 50% of Lawrence high school students were graduating in 4 years. Now that's up to over 70%. Test scores have gone up. Dropouts are down. It's worth noting that state takeover of a district can often be brutal business. You fire a lot of teachers. You convert schools into charters. You close other schools. And it really doesn't have a great track record nationally when it comes to improving educational outcomes in the short term. Riley said he didn't go that route. He kind of followed a third way approach. He rewrote the contract, yes, but he mainly fired principals. He extended the school day, other educational innovations, and he looked for ways to celebrate good teaching. And I think that made him able to work with natural adversaries like the teachers union there. Frank McLaughlin, the union president, says he has his differences with Riley, but he's glad he's being considered for this top job.
What Jeff and I did have is we had a common vision to improve the lives of the children and families of Lawrence, and I think we were successful in doing that.
So if Riley gets the state's top education job, he'll actually be overseeing which districts do go into receivership when they're struggling, and he could be looking to help them make the leap that Lawrence has made.
And the other two finalists are women, and the state has never appointed a woman as commissioner. So tell me about them.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. The first of the two women being considered is Angelica Infante Green. She's a native New Yorker, first-generation American. She made her biggest mark in New York on the way English learners are taught in that state and in her home city. She said she's a deep believer in biliteracy. It's kind of a hot concept in education, seeing students' home language as an educational asset and not as a liability. Infante Green implemented reforms under John King, who was then New York's education commissioner. He later became Obama's final secretary of education. King was a great admirer and friend of Mitchell Chester, the last commissioner of education who passed away last year. King said he admired how Chester always tried to put low-income, maybe English learners, first. Big shoes to fill, in other words.
If you'll forgive the Yankees reference, for all your Red Sox fans, it's sort of like taking over from Joe Torre.
Joe Torre, the legendary Yankees manager. But King and others told me that Infante Green is a real talent and that if anybody can do it, she can. So she'll be stepping in to Massachusetts as we're trying to reform the way we teach English learners.
And the third finalist is the most controversial, Penny Schwinn, who is now working in Texas.
Yeah, that's right. Penny Schwinn is the youngest finalist and probably the one most plugged into the national reform, ed reform movement. She happened to go to Texas's education agency as the state was dealing with a big scandal over capping the amount of services that went to special education students, students with disabilities. Schwinn didn't have anything to do with that cap. It started before she got there, but she handled complaints about it. And she also oversaw a lot of money going into a no-bid contract for an audit of the state's special education practices, and that contract ended up being canceled. And that decision still stings with parent advocates in Texas like Lisa Flores.
She touts herself as financial accountability being her strong suit. Well, I would hardly say that misusing $2.2 million of taxpayer money is under that category.
It's worth noting that an internal audit in Texas found no wrongdoing in Schwinn's case, and that her colleagues in Texas and Delaware and California praise Schwinn to the heavens for her professionalism and her work ethic and her willingness to take tough assignments.
And what's the biggest challenge facing the next education commissioner? And remind us, Max, what powers, really, do the commissioner have?
The Ed Commissioner has been described again and again as the chief executive officer of education in the state. They have lots of roles. They enforce high standards. They measure student achievement. And they maybe most importantly, set a direction for education policy statewide. But I think an interesting detail with these three candidates is they all did Teach for America, that kind of trial by fire teaching experience in low-income schools right out of college. So I think that's an important point when you look at the vision thing, the vision piece of their job. How will they tackle the persistent achievement gaps that are sort of hiding under Massachusetts's really good educational reputation?
Okay, so they're all interviewed by the board today. When might we hear about a decision?
The turnaround is really tight. The board is supposed to vote on their choice Monday. They need a two-thirds vote. And then the candidate that they choose goes to Secretary of Education Jim Pizer. He has to approve. So we could know where the state is heading by the start of next week.
All right. WBUR Edify reporter Max Larkin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
To read Max's profiles of the three candidates to be the next education commissioner in Massachusetts, go to our website, wbur.org.